it starts as one cell. You know, it's absolutely amazing. But how did that work? No idea. The Bible say that it's true? Absolutely. So is it true? Absolutely. And so appreciate it again. Appreciate the Lord too in his desire to expand our minds. His desire to help us to think the way that he would have us to think. So really appreciated that thought or those thoughts, Jeremy. Something else, just want to encourage all of you, if I could request for prayer for my upcoming trip after assembly today. I'm going to be heading out of here pretty quick, heading down to Nashville, Tennessee for the week, and then over to Memphis this coming weekend. Primary reason for going, my primary reason and my most important reason are two different things. My primary reason for going is I have some ACE administrator training that I'm going to go ahead and go to. The timing was right. I have a high school buddy who lives in Nashville, and he doesn't know if he's going to re-up his lease for next year, and ACE has been on my case to re-up my administrator training. I got a lot of that training in person locally 11 years ago when we started our school in Wauseon, but I haven't actually formally ever gone to their administrator training. And they want you to re-up every 5 years. And so I figured, well, I had a free place to stay in Nashville. The timing makes some sense. And I figure if I do it now, they're off my back for 5 years. And I think I'm going to be able to get away with it with never going back for the rest of my life. That's just between us and the internet. But that's kind of my play. Like, I'm going to go and I'll get my rep off my back. And by that time, I'll have 16 years of administrator training. And I'm going to be like, really? Really? I think you should come get some training from me. So that's my game plan. We'll see how it works. But that was my primary reason for going. But then my most important reason for going is I will have opportunity to connect with some of the saints there in Nashville. And then also I'm going to be able to spend some time seeing Ben, who came for Lima Rally. I'll be able to see Ben in Jackson following that. And then Ben and I are actually going to go over to Cody, who I've been studying with. Cody's doing great. His family has expressed interest in having some conversations and that sort of thing about some important Bible stuff. And so I'm going to Memphis next weekend. And then after assembling with those guys on Sunday in Memphis, I'm heading back here. So if you just keep my travels in your prayers, but more importantly, keep opportunities to be able to spread the word in your prayers, would really, really greatly appreciate it. So we're in Colossians chapter 3. One other word of introduction here. Andy, you got the midweek, right? Okay, got a thumbs up. Jeremy, you've got preaching next Lord's Day, right? Okay, perfect. So 2 weeks from today, Lord willing, we'll be starting to go through 1 Peter. And so I mapped it out a little bit, and we're going to be going with just a couple of breaks. We're going to be going through 1 Peter and, Lord willing, 2 Peter over the next until about May. Okay, so if you can be reading the books of 1 and 2 Peter, I would encourage you to start to memorize in the Christian school there in Wauseon. The kids are in the middle of chapter 2 or maybe even chapter 3 of 1 Peter. Would put the challenge out there for all of us to also be memorizing there in 1 and 2 Peter. Be going over that, and we'll be starting to dive in here in a couple of weeks into 1 Peter chapter 1. So it's a little bit of the game plan, and so I've been allowed myself to go topical here for, a couple of months now after we got done with Galatians. Had the Lima Rally and that sort of thing, so we'll do one more, a little bit of a topical message here, and then in a couple of weeks we'll be on to 1 Peter. So Colossians chapter 3. Picking it up in verse 17. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. Now he's going to go through some relationships here. Wives, husbands, children, fathers, slaves. Okay, and we'll come back to that in a minute. Verse 23, whatever you do, do your work heartily as for the Lord rather than for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance. It is the Lord Christ whom you serve. Let's pray. Awesome God, just want to be pleasing to you in all things. Want to serve you in all things. Really thankful for who you are and who you have made us to be, Lord God. Father, I'm just thankful for your work that you have done in us to make us new creations, Lord God. And I just pray that we would live and that we would walk by faith. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let's actually go over to 2nd, if you want to keep your finger there in Colossians, but if you want to go back over to 2nd Corinthians, turn your Bible to 2nd Corinthians chapter 4. 2nd Corinthians 4. Therefore, we do not lose heart. But though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. For momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, and the things which are not seen are eternal. There's a challenge that God has for us in the new covenant. And that challenge is to get us to recognize the things that are of eternal importance. And he contrasts that with the things that are temporary or temporal. Those things that are temporary in nature, they fade away. This earthly tent, which is our home, as it goes on in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 to talk about, is temporary. That our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. It's evident to anybody who's being honest, especially anybody anybody with any sort of age. I appreciate, Jeremy, you talking about the young people. It's nice. I've always been the young guy, so it's nice for me to be like, at least I think I'm about median today, you know? right there in the middle. It is undeniable that the outward man is decaying. Yet, the inner man is being renewed day by day. It falls apart. I was reading an article a couple of days ago. I made this comment to my wife as a joke. But there was this gal, they did an interview, I think it was like 4th of July, and it was her birthday. And she was turning either 113 or 114, right? And here's what she said her key to success was, okay? Because everybody wants to, that's always the question with these old age interviews. What is it? You know, give us the key. She was like, I don't smoke, I don't drink, and I eat lots of potatoes. I'm like, Brenna, I'm good. Smoke, I don't drink, and I eat potato. I mean, she said it was potatoes, but she might not have said lots of potatoes. I might have added that part. I don't smoke, I don't drink, and potatoes. Like, check, 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 right? We're good. But, you know, the obvious thing is that, you know, if Jesus doesn't come back, the outward man will decay. The outward man will turn back to dust. But what is it that God's really concerned about? He's concerned about that inner man. And oftentimes we don't think enough about what's going on in the inner man, because the thing that is obvious is the outer man. What do we present? People are really concerned a lot of times about the way that they present. But God's concerned about what's in the inner man. And what does 2 Corinthians chapter 5 say about that in particular? If we take a look, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, in a familiar passage, let's just do 16 for the sake of time. Therefore, from now on, we recognize no man according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. There was an elevation there. See, the Apostle Paul, who by revelation absolutely knew Christ according to the flesh, not according to time, but according to revelation, read your book of Galatians, okay? He knew Christ according, even though we knew Christ according to the flesh, yet that now we know him thus no longer. See, even for the apostles who were with Jesus in the flesh, they were to recognize him not according to the flesh, but according to who he really was. There was an encouragement to think about the things which are eternal, to get people, to get us, to lift our eyes to the things which are spiritual in nature. And so the Lord is working to help us to see things as they truly are eternally, not as how they present according to the flesh. And so there's an encouragement here that even for Christ, wants us to see Christ in who he really is. God is light. Right? And oftentimes when we picture God, more or less we have a tendency in our mind to see someone human. But yet God wants us to have an elevated understanding of who he really is in glory. And so have an understanding as well of who we are. This carcass, this flesh, this body is going to deteriorate and decay and is going to find, if Jesus doesn't come back, is going to find its way into a grave. But Marshall lives on. Marshall lives on because I have a body, but I am a soul. I am a spirit. And so the Lord's trying to help us to understand this inner man, because oftentimes, again, the way that you present is what you see. I can see Nolan over there in his Levi's shirt, but it's not who Nolan really, I got a smile out of him even. Man, it's a good day. Okay, now he's embarrassed. That's not who Nolan is. There's much more to Nolan than just even his next level things like his interests or his hobbies. Those are a part of him, but that's not who he is. See, the Lord is trying to help us to see what really counts is the inner person of the heart. It's kind of interesting. There's language that's used there in the book of Peter about the hidden person of the heart, right? Talking specifically about wives winning their husbands without a word. And what is it that the husband is to see? Oh, who the wife really is. Right? That's what the Lord's concerned about. Who are we really? What's going on in the inner man? What takes place? You know, the very next verse there in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, you know, therefore we recognize, in verse 16 is where we were at, recognize no man according to the flesh. But what's verse 17 then say? Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. Well, so does that mean when somebody becomes a Christian that, you know, then it's like, They used to have like Extreme Home Makeover, right? You guys remember that way back in the Extreme Home Makeover? And it's like the before and after picture. Well, what's the Extreme New Creation Makeover? Well, according to the flesh, it's like dry and then wet. Right? It looks the same on the outside. Right? And to that end, you know, this is a... There's an understanding that what the Bible says is true. And so there's, for many people, a relief of conscience. But there's not some sort of overwhelming emotional feeling that comes along with becoming a Christian. People feel different stuff. But yet there's a new creative act that happens in the waters of immersion. And that is done by the Lord, that if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. Colossians chapter 2, we don't have time to get into this today, but Colossians chapter 2 tells us about the circumcision of the heart that takes place in those waters that is done by the Holy Spirit. Okay? And so, and again, nobody hear me wrong there. It's the person's participation and willing choice, okay, that puts them in that place. And when they are converted, when they go down into those waters, that's where the Holy Spirit does his spiritual operation. Okay? And so have an understanding then that the Lord wants us to get what's going on in the inside, in the realm that we can't see, in the realm that is eternal in nature. And so the Lord's trying to help us to understand that. Now, if we go back to Colossians chapter 3, where we started, verse 17, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. And then verse 23, whatever you do, do your work heartily as for the Lord rather than for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of inheritance as the Lord Christ whom you serve. Now, question. Do we see examples in the Old Testament of people going through the outward motions, but their hearts being far from God? Okay. We do. Okay. And do we see examples where someone might be doing the right thing, but for completely the wrong reason? Okay. Well, what do we think? We think that God's very pleased with that. Again, basically, you read your prophets in the Old Testament, right? God gets to the point where he's like, okay, you know what? Your feasts and your festivals, they've become disgusting to me, right? Because your hearts are far from me. I'm taking a lot of liberty there and some paraphrasing, but if you look, you'll check it out and see. And so it's not just about what is seen, because what is seen doesn't tell the whole story. It's about why we're doing what we're doing. It's about the heart. It's about what is a person really trying to do. Are they trying to be pleasing to the Lord? You know, I'm reminded particularly the example in the scripture, you know, trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. Is that really our heart's desire? Because it's possible to go through the motions. It's possible to do the things that look good on the outside, but yet they're still not pleasing to the Lord because your hearts are far from me. And so, we want to make sure that what we're emphasizing is what's going on the inside. Because if we're going to get to the point where whatever you do, do heartily as for the Lord, not for men, that's going to have to be something that's coming from the inside out. See, if rules and laws and imposing those rules and laws could produce a people that would be pleasing to God, the Ten Commandments and the law system according to Moses would have done that. I mean, if you take a look at the book of Romans, and again, for the sake of time, we're not going to do so this afternoon. When you take a look at the book of Romans in particular, okay, it's not that there was anything wrong with the law. What was wrong was that the people couldn't keep the law. And so the people couldn't keep the law, and to that end, okay, with there being, God creates the law is holy and righteous and good, which means that if there was a legal system that could produce the type of people that the Lord was looking for, it was the law of Moses. That's the legal system which would produce that. You're not going to improve upon that. The New Testament is not one set of laws that are used in exchange for the Old Testament set of laws. It is a new and living way. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 through 22. God has provided for us a new and living way, a way where he's getting to our heart, a way where we are being cleansed by his Holy Spirit from the inside out. Let's go to the Gospel of Matthew. Jesus has some things to say here. Gospel of Matthew. And let's think a little bit about chapter 23. Sorry. Matthew 23. Start in verse 13. Matthew 23, 13. But woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because you shut off the kingdom of heaven from men, for you do not enter in yourselves, nor do you allow those who are entering to go in. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because you devour widows' houses, even while for a pretense you make long prayers, therefore you shall receive greater condemnation. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because you travel about on sea and land to make one proselyte, and when he becomes one, you make him twice as much a son of hell as yourselves. Woe to you, blind guides, who say, whoever swears by the temple, that is nothing, but whoever swears by the gold of the temple, he is obligated. You fools and blind men, which is more important, the gold or the temple that sanctified the gold? And whoever swears by the altar, that is nothing, but whoever swears by the offering upon it, he is obligated. You blind men, which is more important, the offering or the altar that sanctifies the offering? Therefore, he who swears by the altar swears both by the altar and by everything on it. And he who swears by the temple swears both by the temple and by him who dwells within it. And he who swears by heaven swears both by the throne of God and by him who sits upon it. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you tithe mint and dill and cumin and have neglected the weightier provisions of the law, justice and mercy and faithfulness. But these are the things that you should have done without neglecting the others. You blind guides who strain out a gnat and swallow a camel. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you clean the outside of the cup and dish, but inside they are full of robbery and self-indulgence. You blind Pharisee, first clean the inside of the cup and the dish so that the outside of it may become clean also. Let me stop right there. That's the nice, soft, lovable Jesus that you always see in the media, right? Jesus had no problem calling a spade a spade. He had no problem calling out the hypocrisy of the scribes and the hypocrites. And Jesus is getting to the heart of the issue here where, you know, you got people who are concerned about what does the outside look like. And Jesus says what you need to be worried is what about the inner man? What about the inside? What is it about the inside? Okay. And if you worry about the inside, the outside will take care of itself. And so when we come across passages like Colossians chapter 3, verse 17, also verse 23 there, whatever we do in word or in deed, we don't get to whatever you do in word or in deed by trying harder. You don't get there by just additional self-control. Now, all of this is participation, working together with the Lord. But the way that we get there is truly by believing more. The way that we get there is by working with him as he cleanses the inside of our cup. Because that's what he's truly interested in, is cleansing us from the inside out. Yes, he does that in the waters of immersion, but he also continues to keep us clean. John chapter 7. John chapter 7. Verse 37. John 7. Now on the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, "If any man is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture said, from his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke of the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive, for the Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. From his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water." See, Holy Spirit comes to dwell within us, to keep us continually clean, to be those rivers of living water within us, to make sure that the inside of our cup is truly cleansed. Because when the inside of our cup is truly cleansed by the Lord, when we're working together with His Spirit in our lives, the result of that is whatever you do, do heartily as for the Lord and not for men. See, our service flows from our worship. Our service flows from John chapter 4, verses 23 and 24. And for the sake of time, we don't have time to get into that. But it is the inner man being cleansed which makes all of the difference. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and just tie some of this together here. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Again, contrast the Old Covenant with the New Covenant is the context of this. Read the context later. Verse 14 is where we'll pick it up. "But their minds were hardened, for until this very day at the reading of the Old Covenant, the same veil remains unlifted because it is removed in Christ. But to this day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their heart. But whenever a man turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away." Now make sure you know what biblical turning is. You're going to have to take a look at Acts 2:38, Acts 3:19, Acts 26, Acts 26 verses 18 through 20, okay? But whenever a man turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. "Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord the Spirit." Now you've heard me preach a bunch of times in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18. What I want to emphasize right here though, in the limited amount of time that we have left, is this is all coming from the Spirit. The Lord, the Spirit in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18. It is only through the work of the Spirit in the life of the Christian that we can be transformed into the very image of the glorified Christ. That's not through additional self-control. That's not through trying harder. Again, not that there's not going to be participation and effort on our part, but our responsibility is to renew our minds. What does that look like? Well, that looks like reading the Word of God. That looks like prayer. That looks like memorization of the Word of God. That looks like hitting the assemblies. That looks like listening to sermons. That looks like quiet time with God. That looks like meditation on His Word. Our responsibility is to renew our mind. What He does is He transforms us into the image of the glorified Christ. No amount of human effort could do that. I couldn't do that on my own. You can't do that on your own. That's only through the Lord the Spirit. And what that does is it changes our inner man to look just like the glorified Christ. And that's real change from the inside out. And when it's who we are, then it's no problem with what we do. That's who you are. What you do takes care of itself. It's who I am. And so because it's who I am, then let's do our work heartily as for the Lord, not as for men. Jeremiah?
Number 13.